Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So today we hear our Lord say that an evil and adulterous generation seeks a sign. And if you've been paying attention to the Gospel of Matthew at this point, it's pretty clear that that seems to be the case. They come and ask for a sign, and yet ever since Jesus has returned from his temptation, there's been many signs. He's been doing a lot of teaching and preaching and healing. The evidence is all over the place that Jesus is the Christ, and that through him, God the Father is redeeming and restoring his people Israel and saving them from their sins. And yet, the Pharisees and scribes come to Jesus after all of this and still ask for a sign. Just a little bit before this in Matthew, it was John the Baptist in prison sending word to Jesus with the question, "Are you the Christ, or should we expect another?" And then Jesus sent word back to John saying, blind are seeing again, and the lame are walking, lepers are being cleansed, and the deaf are hearing, the dead are being raised, and the poor are having good news preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended, who is not scandalized in connection with me. And so you might say, the evidence is all over the place. Jesus is the Christ. God is at work through him. And these religious authorities, not only do they not believe, but in a sense, they're guilty of sort of a godless, willful, sinful unbelief. It's as if they will not believe. It's as if they haven't been paying attention to any of the things that have been going on in Jesus' ministry. But actually, it's worse than that. They have been paying attention. It seems they've been watching him closely, and they have their own explanation for what is going on. Among Jesus' many works is he has cast demons out of people, and they have decided it is in league with Satan, it is in league with Beelzebub, that Jesus is casting out demons. In other words, not only do they not believe that he's the Christ, they actually think that he is evil, that Jesus is the sinner in league with the devil. And not only that, when Jesus has claimed authority over the Sabbath and healed a man on the Sabbath, the Pharisees at this point are already planning to destroy him. And so they come and ask for a sign. You know, it's just as if Jesus were to actually get crucified and buried and rise again, these people would not believe in Jesus. Well, in fact, that's the sign that, ironically, Jesus gives them. The sign of Jonah is the sign that he's going to die and be buried. And as Jonah was in the belly of the well for 3 days and three nights, so Jesus will be in the belly of the earth. The Son of Man will be in the belly of the earth, and he will rise again. And there's the sign to the Pharisees and the scribes. Later in chapter 16, the Pharisees and the Sadducees come again with this boneheaded request for a sign. And Jesus says, "No sign will be given to you except the sign of Jonah." In other words, that sign that the Son of Man is going to be killed and buried and come back to life. And you know, in a way, Jesus is faithful to the religious authorities. He's given them a sign, and that sign is delivered to them by the end of the gospel. In Matthew chapter 28, after Jesus is resurrected, the authorities find out from the guards that that tomb is now empty, the sign of Jonah. And so they fall on their knees and repent and believe in Jesus, right? Nope. What they do is they come up with a lie to explain the empty tomb. Yes, indeed, it is as if Jesus were to die and rise again. These men simply will not believe. Yes, indeed, an evil and adulterous generation asks for a sign. Now, I'd like to use these verses today as a warning to you as well. Though you are the people of God, there may be times when we might be tempted to turn to God and say, "Is there something else you can do? Something else you can tell me? I need something beyond what you have already said." And yet we, the people of God, however, we're called to be content with what God has done for us, what God has given to us, what he has said to us. And I could relate to this. 2020 is not been the best year of my life. And even though I finished my dissertation this year, I'm not going to look back to 2020 as the best year of my life. We live in a nation that's divided in the midst of the COVID pandemic. And yes, now after Thanksgiving, we face the reality of online virtual education once again. And there are times when I want to say, Lord, what is going on? Could you do something else? Could you reassure me that you are still my God and we are still your people? And yet, an evil and adulterous generation requests a sign. It's interesting in the Gospel of Matthew that when it comes to understanding, Jesus' disciples don't really fare better than the religious authorities do. In fact, Jesus tells them literally that he's going to die and rise again, and when it happens, they're surprised. And yet the reason Jesus' disciples remain with Jesus is not because they understood and they were faithful to him, it's because he remained faithful to them. Jesus reconciled them to himself. That's why at the end, those 11 are commissioned to go out and disciplize the nations. And now we in time are those very people to whom Jesus sent his ecclesia. And how are disciples made? Well, by baptizing. And you know, it may seem tiresome among us Lutherans when we keep saying, remember your baptism, but you know what? Remember your baptism. And notice that when we say, remember your baptism, we tend to make the sign of the cross, the sign of the cross reminding us that our Lord went to the cross, faithful unto death for us, to redeem us and make us his people. And baptism was that decisive moment when each of you was transferred from life, from death to life, from sin to righteousness, from being the enemies of God to becoming his people, baptized into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. You are now the people of the true God, children of the Father, disciples of Jesus, the holy ecclesia church, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. That is who you are, and nothing is going to change that. And so, yeah, remember your baptism. And the disciples are made by teaching them to keep, to obey all that Jesus has commanded us, to remember his word of promise. Blessed are the poor with respect to spirit. Blessed are those who have nothing to offer God, for theirs is the reign of heaven. In a sense, blessed are those who have nothing to offer God. God is going to give them everything in Jesus Christ. And then with that, the call to live now as his disciples, to be salt and to be earth. I mean, to be salt and to be light in this time where God has placed us. And then ironically enough, though you never asked for it, Jesus has given you the sign of Jonah too, right? You didn't ask for it, but in Matthew 12, we are given the sign of Jonah. Yeah, that's true. Our Lord, who was crucified and buried, has risen again. He has triumphed over the cross, over the grave, over death. And because he lives, you today have eternal life. And on the last day, he will raise you from your graves and you will live with him forever. Yeah, you have the sign of Jonah, not as a word of judgment, but as a word of promise that our Lord has triumphed over death and the grave, and this victory is now yours. So even in 2020, this remains true. Jesus Christ is your Lord and your Savior, and you are his people. May the Lord God, our Heavenly Father, keep you steadfast in this faith, both now and unto life everlasting. Amen. We stand for prayer.